Like I said, I wanted to talk to you about a range of things that have been happening over the last month or two. One of the big exciting things was, from the last council meeting, was the Broadview bid to bring that down. It almost seemed like the council was giddy to take that vote. Now that it's going to be coming down in the next few months, sort of what is either your personal opinion or the city's kind of view on what they would like to see happen to that space?
Yeah, well, we're tremendously excited. I mean, it's been multiple years, and myself and other counselors have been pushing our legal counsel to really move forward with that as quickly as possible. It's amazing how difficult such a task is. Private property is obviously something we protect in this country,
and
understandably so. But when you have a dilapidated building like that, and it's just, it's right in your center of heart of the city, It brings everybody down, and it really does. It reflects poorly on all the wonderful things that are going on in Galesburg. So bringing it down was topmost priority, and I'm glad we're doing it. As far as what we might do in that spot, I mean, it's a hot spot, right? It's a, it's a very valuable piece of property, and one that, you know, we would want to use be very strategic about. Because whatever that's going to go there is going to be there for a long time, and so we've had a few years back when I first got elected, we had some initial conversations with some high end hotels who were not looking at that space particularly, but was looking for a downtown location, and now that location will be available in the near future. I mean, that we're going to definitely go back to that table and have those discussions. That I think that would be a great add, and particularly because we're seeing more visitors in Galesburg. Hotels are doing really well, and you know that's a really good trend. So let's keep that going. I also know, I mean, obviously I'm affiliated with Knox College, and I know, and I've heard from many different administrations that that hotel is a problem, the site, and they, you know, a lot of colleges like downtown hotels for their students or who visit. It's a place to put them up close to campus, which, and a walking distance. So it's got a lot of attractions from that standpoint. And frankly, a lot of our really great venues are downtown. So the more, you know, it just speaks to a hotel of some form. Now, I mean, I'm not wedded to that. I mean, I'm open to other ideas. I know a lot of people want a Ferris wheel in the city, and I'm very much a proponent of that as well. But, you know, maybe it'll be a hotel with a Ferris wheel. I mean, we can have and as versus or. But I mean, these are ideas, and I'm glad people are starting to think about that. And but it's hard when you see a blighted building for years, and not just a blighted building. I mean, unfortunately, despite our efforts, you know, people were getting in that building, and I suspect not, you know, the activities in that building were not positive. So it's good for everybody to bring it down. And when we do, I anticipate a lot of interest. And so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. And speaking kind of redevelopment, the city's looking at a possible new TIF district along Grand Avenue. Can you kind of talk about, why that area specifically? And I know you kind of have to work within certain TIF rules, but what you hope to accomplish, I guess, with the TIF over long term there?
Well, that's a major artery, right,
yeah,
in our city. And of course, we've heard that the road condition is horrible.
Yeah.
And I can't disagree with that, right? I mean, we have higher standards than that. Unfortunately, it is a state highway. And so we as the city need to be very respectful of the state, and the state has promised that they're going to fix that in the near future. And so what better time that with a new road have some additional incentives for more businesses along that road. That's a major thoroughfare. You know, if you think about the way our city's kind of cut up, you've got Grand Avenue, you've got Main Street, and then you got Henderson Street. I mean, those are the three main kind of zigzag arteries through this wonderful city. And you know, I'm not a big proponent of sprawl, obviously, and so you know, I wasn't in Galesburg when Henderson Street was first redeveloped, and I understand that's what cities did all over the country. But one of the things about Grand Avenue, it exists, right? It is a highway, and so it's not a matter of sprawl. That's where, if we're going to do further redevelopment, That's a good place to do it. Mm. And there are a lot of people that live around there as well. And so having a more positive business environment, having a better street quality, it's just going to give a much better feel. I mean, a lot of people come from Knoxville, from Lake Bracken, up that street. And I mean, if that's the first thing they see, once again, you know, it gives you a certain attitude towards the city you're visiting. And we don't need that. We want all arteries of our city to look great. And we're working on that. We have been for a while, but we have a lot of arteries. We have a lot of people coming in from a lot of different directions, and we need to make sure that they present the city that we want, the way we want it. But also jobs. There's a lot of opportunity for job creation in that part of the city. We have some incentives already in place prior to this TIF creation, but it's one of the ways to incentivize activity there and reinvest monies that are made there. So I think it's worthwhile. It probably is an area that has been neglected a bit in recent years, and I think it's something I think all council members are supportive of.
And you recently got a presentation on all the geese at Lake Story Lincoln Park area. Kind of what is the city considering doing, or what can be done, I guess, after the presentation you got?
Well, it was a very valuable presentation. Someone who works for the state, who's an expert on this and has worked with other communities, came in. And that was really in response to public feedback we've been receiving. You know, there's always, you know, problems here, problems there. But when enough people start saying it loud enough, you know, it really needs to be a citywide issue that we deal with. And Lake Story is a wonderful park, and we want to make sure that no one doesn't go there because of geese or geese feces. And I love animals, right? And so, you know, and that comes with my discipline, but it also, I often think that nature knows best sometimes as it relates to where they find themselves. So I'm always me personally, I'm hesitant to say, oh, we have too many of them. But at some point, you know, you just have to look at the facts. And the facts are, you know, we don't have the natural predators we used to have. Although I did see a fox run across in front of my car on Fremont Street just few days ago, which first time I've seen that. But we don't have, you know, all the natural predators we need. And the geese have found a home. And we found out, you know, a lot of these geese, there's different types of geese. And some of them, once they come here and they roost here, they're going to stay here for the rest of their lives, which can be up to 20 years. And we've heard that every year they might produce upwards of 10 offspring. Mm. So you could see how quickly a population could grow. And in that vein, so we have been trying a lot of things. It's not like this is a new thing. We've tried the cutouts of the coyotes. We've tried, finding their nesting places. We've tried some spray on the fields next to the shore, which deters the geese from, staying there. It's not that dangerous a spray either, which of course I'm very sensitive to as well. Cause you could spray something that has a negative effect on the water quality, and then that, you know, shuts down the whole system.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of things, but a couple of things that came out of this presentation. One, it's not one thing. It's a multi-dimensional approach, and it's one that we're going to have to be vigilant about for a couple of years. Secondly, there's something called a harvest, community harvest, and this might make people a little squeamish, but what it is you literally bring professionals in. They harvest essentially a certain percentage of the geese, and then they turn that into meat. And they return it to the community for those who want to eat it. I mean, it is, you know, it is meat that is edible, and a lot of people historically around the country do eat geese meat. I have never tried it, but I hear it's not bad. Hmm. So that's a way to cull the herd, as it were, flock pretty quickly. The reality is, we've been doing some things over the last few years in response to community concerns. They just haven't been sufficient enough, and we recognize that in order to make a dent, we need to really send a message, and we bring the geese population down. Some are uncomfortable with that; they see it as inhumane. You know, I think it's a tricky balance. I mean, I'm not excited about culling 200 geese or 100 geese or whatever the number we decide on. And also, that's not free. There's a service that needs to be paid, and we're now looking into that. We suspect that we're going to begin to, for this year at least, we're going to begin to coordinate our the multiplicity of efforts so that they're more effective. And then probably next year we'll go to the community harvest. That's my sense. I mean, of course, the council will decide that, but that's the sense I get from the people I talk to. And that process is there are state regulations about it. It needs to be done in a certain way, but ultimately it's very effective.
I wanted to ask you also about the community center a little bit. You know, you had that community meeting, I believe last week, was it, or week before?
Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that kind of stuck out to me is it seemed like the council had been committed to Churchill as a site, but then there seems to be, in the language that you use, maybe some wiggle room, maybe some possibility of some other locations. I guess what would it take for other sites to come into play for the council now?
It really comes into cost,
uh-huh.
Okay? I mean, we looked at five sites, and at least the majority of the council felt Churchill was the most cost-effective site. There are some other sites, particularly ones downtown, that are, you know, have the physical space, both indoors and outdoors, that we're looking for. But they would cost probably on the order of close to double the amount. Mm-hmm. And given our current economic climate, you know, I didn't feel it was wise to push for that. I will tell you a couple things on this note. I mean, first of all, people see Churchill as it currently sits, and they imagine Churchill being the center, you know, and when people think of something new and great and big and very ambitious, you know, we don't think of Churchill. We think of a new building, just like the library is going to be, right?
Yeah, right.
Right. So, and I understand that. But if Churchill is renovated, it's not going to look like Churchill does today, right? First of all, it's not going to look like it does today inside pretty much at all. It's going to be a total overhaul of the inside. That's what that renovation is. From the outside, I mean, we're looking and we'll see soon renditions of what architects will do to make Churchill look more modern, more inviting to outside you know, visitors. And I think that's really important. And when people see those renditions, I think they'll have a different feel for the whole project. But back to other sites. I mean, if there are individuals who are philanthropic, who are listening, and they want to see Galesburg really have a bold vision for the future, I think a downtown site is preferable. But again, it comes down to what amount of money we're willing to pay for this. And, you know, I think this community center is something that's going to stay in the community for eons. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you know, naming recognition is important, right? There are a lot of people in this community that deserve that. I've mentioned Carl Duncan, frankly, as a name I'd love to see on that building. Because he represents, you know, the real ethos of this community in so many ways. But there are other people as well. So at maybe if someone wants a center to be the first thing you see when you drive into the downtown and it really puts Galesburg on the map, please let them contact the city. I mean, it's still time. I mean, once we haven't really spent a lot of money on Churchill yet. And I want to say another thing about Churchill, but just to end this thought. Until we start spending that money, there's still opportunities to consider other sites. But that window is narrowing. That gap is narrowing in time. And so the next 3 or 4 months, probably, we're not, and this is really important to mention too, there is some that believe we're trying to rush this through before the election. Actually, I would say no, that's not true. We're probably not going to spend a dime, I mean, in real terms, on Churchill before the election. Mm-hmm. So from that standpoint, we're not, you know, and I think those perspectives are not fully informed. Mm-hmm. Now, do we want a community center finalized this year in terms of conceptually and get the building and the funds available to do so? Yes, absolutely. You know, we haven't had one for almost a decade now, and everyone I talk to really, you know, I'm not saying everyone, but the vast majority of people recognize how important it is, and so we want to move forward. But I really want to emphasize the fact that we are being very diligent with our consideration of this project. We know once it gets built, once the money's spent, again, it's a fixture in our community for a long time, and we don't want to make a decision like that hastily. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing I want to say about Churchill, though, one of the criticisms of Churchill has been that it's too big, and that let me just address that because there's more information now that we have. First of all, the building is 87,000 square feet, which is about – it's more than 2 acres in size. It's a big building, no doubt, right? And that's why it was home to many hundreds of students in years past. But we have not planned to renovate the entire building. In fact, at this point, where we stand right today, we are renovating about a quarter of it, okay? And that's the size that we decided upon based on the absolute essential needs for a community center after having done a lot of research. Mm. Now, that being said, we've been meeting the last 2 months with community stakeholders and organizations and agencies, and we've met with over 20. And we're asking them questions like, could you use space in this building? What would it look like? How often would you need it? Do you have money to contribute to a renovation or a lease or something of that sort? And those meetings have been extremely informative. We are finding out that there is a lot more interest in actual real estate, setting, you know, bones of these organizations in that space. Mm. So partnerships are going to happen, and it may be such that we could potentially renovate the entire space. And let me explain why that's so important. It's important because, one, if we have partnerships, then the cost gets spread over many groups. Two, any investment that is made is helping many more entities than just the city itself and the community center itself. Thirdly, to have many entities in that building, it seems like a much better use of the building. Plus, it will save us money. We have $600,000 currently slated to demolish the south part of the building, mm-hmm. the U. What if we didn't need to do that? That's $600,000 that could be put towards something positive. And lastly, this is what's back to the original, the other point of alternative buildings or alternative sites. When we compare, do comparative costing, we were talking about a little over 20,000 square foot building. And when we look at that downtown, we're talking about anywhere from $10 to $12 million. Now, if you want to make an 80,000 square foot building, or let's say a 60,000 square foot building, so we can serve all these various entities, well, that cost goes up, right? It mm-hmm. goes up, probably doubles. So now we're talking about not just a $3 to $5 million gap. We're talking about maybe a $15 million gap. And again, I would love to see a building of that magnitude for our community. I think it would really do justice to all the wonderful things at Galesburg that is happening and will continue to happen in the future. It's a great investment, but I can't write that check. And I can't even write checks at all to the city, but which probably some people are very happy about. what I'm saying is I can't encourage counselors to really consider that option because it's just not within our means. But again, there are very philanthropic people in this community. I mean, why are we going to have this amazing new library? Because community kicked in about $6 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. And that's why we're going to have an amazing facility. You know, why do we have other amazing buildings in our city, like Discovery Depot, like the Orpheum, like these other places? Because community members ponied up a lot of dollars at different times of, you know, our Galesburg's history. And that's why we have these beautiful, inviting buildings. I can see the community center being that, you know, but it's going to take a little bit of extra lifting, and but we're moving forward. So, but we're doing so patiently. But at some point, and I know some of the counselors are even more impatient than I am. The kids, we're talking to a lot of children about this, and they're starting to give their input in volumes. And it's really exciting. In fact, we had a youth member at that meeting last week who stood up very confidently and spoke to our group for the elders for quite a few minutes, telling what he would want in that facility. And they get excited about this stuff. And so, you know, we've been talking about a community center, a new one, for at least 6 years now. In this Galesburg. We even had an event in 2016 at the old armory.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought we were on track to do that. Well, it didn't happen. I'm not going to get into why. Those who remember know. But we don't want to keep replaying that broken record, right? We're on the right path. We have the resources now. And we need to be ambitious, but we have to work within our means as well. And so it's a real question. So I would say in closing, just when I spoke of the other site, it was in a Q&A session because people had heard some rumblings. And I also want to make it clear that I'm just one person. I don't even vote on the council.
Right.
So, I mean, I do a lot of research. I have more time to do that. I share a lot of information. There's a white paper on community centers, by the way, on the mayor's webpage, and there's some other documents if people haven't caught up on some things. Some really good documents there, but I have to be really the listener of the whole entire community and try to project what kind of message they're sending me. And I hear those that want a bigger and better building downtown. And if I hear that, I gotta speak for them, right? I have to voice their thoughts, recognizing that comes with additional cost.
One other thing I wanted to ask you about is community branding, because that's another thing you got a presentation on the other night. And obviously that's something that the city thinks about and thinks is important, but maybe there's some discussion to be had about how you go about it. But I guess what is the city considering hiring an outside firm, or what other strategies would they use to go about doing some community branding?
That was a really informative event, and not just because of the expert who came and spoke, but because of the folks in the room, the community members in the room. They shared their knowledge and expertise, and that was profound, okay? And it really, I think, alerted people to that, one, we've done a lot of branding in Galesburg already.
Sure.
And you know, the Heart and Soul Project in particular, and yet that wasn't fully manifest yet, right? So where does it sit? And why are we not pumping it out? We also have efforts of branding that are happening kind of organically, like the letters on the downtown square, across the square, which now, you know, I'm wearing the sweatshirt, and people can get the sweatshirt at several locations, including Civic Arts Center. Beautiful gifts, you know, for Valentine's Day. So, you know, there's community pride with branding, and I'm not sure where we stand yet. Do we need an outside entity to really support us? They obviously are experts. They do this all throughout the country, and you know, they have a lot to things to share. But we also have a lot of expertise too, and we're gonna have a mural project that's being launched this year. That's gonna be a branding exercise of sorts, and it's organically driven. I'm not sure myself of what's the best movement. I think we have to have some additional conversations. We want to talk to the community foundation. They have some ideas along these lines. We want to talk to the county board because one of the things that came up was, well, is it a brand for the city, or is it a brand for the county, or is it both? The organization that came in thought that the city should focus on the city. You know, we might have different views on that. So I think it's really important for people to think about that and be creative in that motion, in that art. I think in terms of moving forward, we're probably not going to do any heavy lifting with that until the new council takes its seat in May, and then we can really move forward. And I say this, you know, and I hope everybody's looking at the candidates. We have a big election coming up in less than 2 months. And I heard that your radio station is going to do some type of event around that to meet the candidates. I think that's fantastic. I'm so excited about that. We need to get voters out. People need to realize how important it is to vote locally. We get so much information about national figures who we vote for, who we'll never meet, right? And who may or may, and I'm sure they have, they definitely have impact. But on a day-to-day basis, the people you know, the people are your neighbors, the people who have the biggest impact in your life and the future of Galesburg. And so I really hope people can get out and really evaluate the candidates. I think there are definite differences between the candidates. And, you know, I want Galesburg to move forward. So however that looks for the voters, let it be known. But Galesburg needs to be known as a city where people vote. You know, and honestly, these kinds of elections, turnout has been anywhere from 9 to 15% in recent years. That's terrible. I mean, that does not reflect the full community. So whoever's listening, I implore you to get registered. If you aren't, make sure you put it on the calendar, April 4th, and meet the candidates, call the candidates, contact them, find out what they're about, find out what they really want, find out where they're running. This is all really important. And it's really important that we have engaged citizens. And so that's to me, that's the most important thing, more than who you vote for or anything. But and we're seeing that, and I'm excited. Sometimes those meetings are long, though, as you know. They can go overboard in length. But, you know, that's good. And I have people who watch these meetings, council meetings, even the work sessions. And they don't even live in Galesburg, but they watch them for hours because – they realize this is every day is a civics lesson, and there's a lot to be learned, and not only about how to engage in a public forum like that, but also, you know, what they might like in their own community. So I think Galesburg is a flagship for that, and I encourage folks to participate.
Just anything else that you're excited about that's on the near future that you just that we haven't covered so far?
Well, I've been in some of the local schools, and I've been invited to a couple of them just to meet with the children. I had a wonderful opportunity to meet with a classroom at Steele. I got to read my favorite children's book to them, as well did many others. I was in the high school before Christmas, and I'm planning to go back here in the near future. And what I can tell you, there's been a lot of investment in our schools in recent years, and you know, it's like you build it, they will come. I'm seeing that. I can see the excitement in the children, and my child, of course, is still in the school system. I think that's part of branding and being engaged. So you know, parents being engaged with their children's education is very important. The community being engaged in that. I see the community center and the library as two additional components that are going to improve the education of our youth. And not just because, you know, quote, experts are going to come in and force feed them. What I think is going to happen is, and I saw this because I was just in Moon Towers and met some people there. They have skill sets. They have things they're very passionate about and they want to share them. And whether that's teaching people how to crochet, like my grandmother did when I was young, or teaching them how to play, you know, keyboard, or teaching them how to make a bird cage or a bird house, you know, all kinds of things. I mean, or how to cook special meals. I mean, to me, there's just a lot of learning, and learning is fun. And it's a way to attract people into new areas, and the youth, to me, will really benefit. But all members of the community will benefit. Everybody who's participating in that, young or old, will benefit because they'll learn a new skill, they'll learn a new craft, they'll be able to share with their passion and their industry, things that they've learned over time. And I'm very excited about the prospects of that. So my last thing I want to say is, and you guys, I sent a press release about this, but I've started a new project called We Are Galesburg. It's a website, wearegalesburg.org. It's also a Facebook page. And it's really just a place for people to post things about Galesburg that they're positive about, both current and past. And I've been enjoying just participating in that. The Facebook page is open. That means anybody can post there. And we've found some interesting things about even just in the first few days. So if you've lived in Galesburg a long time, or maybe you're just visiting here for the first time, and you want something positive you want to share with the community, please do that. Now, there are other Facebook pages that do positive posting, so it's not trying to replace anything. But from the historical perspective, I posted some pictures, for instance, of Lake Story in the 1970s and 80s, and got a lot of positive responses like, yeah, why was it so much better back then? And particularly in terms of the beach.
Yeah.
And that's woken people up to, why can't we clean up our beach? And that's exactly the type of positive response that we can have.
Inspiration almost.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's open-ended. We hope everyone can participate. I mean, obviously there are negative elements in the community that want to disparage the community for whatever reason. I think there's always a time and place for criticism, but there's also a time for celebration. And I think our history now, nearly 200 years, we're approaching that. It's coming up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you and I will be sitting here then, you know, thinking we made it 200 years in this city.
Mm-hmm.
But to get there, you know, we're making progress on that. And what kind of city do we want when 2037 rolls around? And that's what we're literally planning right now. What we're doing right now is going to be here in 2037. And so share your dreams, share your positive memories, and let's keep moving forward.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Cameron.